Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, June 13th, 2016. Time for another edition of Weber This Week. Today, a couple of hardworking folks that I've always admired, a couple of assistant district attorneys for Seneca County are in the house, on the couch, talking about what they do to try to protect the victims of this county of Seneca. It's a Monday, the 13th of June. Welcome, everybody. Nice to have you alongside. And forecast for the weather this week is supposed to be spectacular. A little cool today, but they're talking about 85 or so on this coming weekend, which is going to be nice as we celebrate a good week of weather, and I think we deserve it. Welcome, everybody, and it's great to have everybody join us this morning. And let me tell you, before I get to Megan and Mark, they know that I am a court watcher. Thank God I don't have the orange jumpsuit on that I attend court. But I somehow find my way to go up there, and I've always needled Judge Bender, as speaking of the judge, about putting in those recliners for us old folks, because if they had recliners, I never would miss a court hearing. However, because of those chairs that the public is expected to sit in are dated 1852 or something like that, Mark can give me the exact date, they are the most uncomfortable chairs in the world for us to sit there for hour after hour watching Mark and Megan do their thing as assistant district attorneys. It kind of gets a little tiring on the back. So I haven't been there in a few weeks, but I'll be back. And Mark and Megan will be heading out there doing their job this afternoon as court is in session. Without further ado, I have always admired what they do because they fight for the victims of Seneca County based on what transpires, and their plate never gets empty. And they certainly dedicate themselves to bringing justice to the families that are affected. So with that opening, I turn to Megan Peter. Megan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Megan, let's talk about yourself and where you were born, where you went to school, where you got your law degree, and how you ended up in Seneca County.
Sure. So that's kind of a roundabout story. I was actually born in Utica, New York, and then lived in Albany until I was about 12 when my family moved to Webster. So my parents are still there, and I see them all the time. And after I graduated from Webster Schrader High School, I went to college at College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. Graduated there in 2007, and I was an economics poli-sci major. And I knew I wanted to go to law school, but I really thought, you know, I was interested in international law. You know, I thought I would be working at the World Bank or the IMF or something. So I chose American University because they specialize in international law. And I, you know, was going through there. Everything was going according to plan. And then in my third year, I did a clinical program where I worked as a prosecutor for a semester and then as a public defender for a semester. And I just was so drawn in by criminal law, and I thought, I have to do this when I graduate. So after I passed the bar, I got my first job as an assistant district attorney down in Yates County. And so I worked there for about 5 years until this past November when Barry Porsche, the DA from here in Seneca County, called me and asked if I wanted to join his team. And I said, sounds like it'd be a good switch. So I've been here since November.
That's great. And Mark Sankovich is also joining us. Thanks for coming in, Mark.
My pleasure.
Mark, you have a few years under your belt. Tell us about yourself, where you were born, and how you got involved in what you're doing presently.
I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, and went to law school there, graduated, took the Ohio bar. But then, you know, as most law students do, put out resumes all over. And the first people to bite was a public defender office in West Virginia, Beckley, West Virginia. And so got hired there, moved down, spent about 9 years as a public defender there. And then we came up here on a vacation, and then we stayed.
So for good.
Yep. When I came up, I thought, well, maybe it's time to hang out a little shingle. So I lived down in Ovid, hung out a shingle there, practiced, had a small practice there for a while. And then I was doing some family court or something. And at the time, it was Rich Swinehart who was the DA.
Sure.
And
he said, good friend of mine, yep.
And he said, we got this prison that has a lot of cases coming out, and we need somebody to handle those cases, and you live down there, so it'd be convenient for you. You're willing to do that? And I said, sure, I'll do that. So did prison cases for a while, and then eventually, you know, that led to a little bit more work, and then eventually I just became full-time. And, you know, you stay anywhere long enough, and that's how I became the first assistant.
Well, I must say, and we're going to delve into some areas of law that I've always been enamored by the law. I think I've told Megan this before via email. I've always been fascinated by the work of attorneys. I've always truly believed that attorneys can make or break a case. Truly believe, not talking about the OJ trial, which was amazing. But I've always enjoyed it, and I've always been a proponent for the Supreme Court to have us watch the oral arguments via television, which I don't think will ever happen, even though there are some people in Congress that think it should. I've always enjoyed listening to the oral, which obviously you can go into, which I do about it every week. I listen to the oral arguments. I find that fascinating. What I find fascinating is, A, you've got to be quite the specimen to get in front of them, because that's got to be intimidating, looking up at nine of the most powerful people in the world. But I've always enjoyed the attorneys that represent both sides, and sometimes more than one, how they begin to speak and give their arguments. And the Supreme Court justices show no mercy, interrupting them 15 Absolutely. Seconds into a comment. Yeah. I've always been fascinated by that. And I think the Roberts gives them a few extra minutes when they keep doing that. But it's amazing that they just shut you down so fast. And it's always fascinated me to see them go back and forth. And after you hear the argument, I always wonder to myself, I make notes, let me see how they're going to rule on this case. And it's never right. You just can't get a reading from that.
Yeah,
it's always fascinating me. And taking that, obviously, from our highest court in the land, I've always enjoyed coming up to watching you guys do your thing. And before you guys were there, other people. I've always been fascinated in the give and take and a case that, like yourself, and I've seen a few trials that you've done, Mark, and do a nice job as well. You know, you get up and from the prosecution side and you want justice for the family, and that's one of your goals and Megan's goal, to bring justice to families, to make somebody pay for what they have done based on the law. But you get up and do a compelling argument and you're sitting in the audience like I do, as you guys know, thinking, that person's guilty of sin. I mean, this is a slam dunk. I mean, let's get this thing over with. I want to go to lunch. And then when you sit down, or Megan sit down, the defense attorney, and I would say without a doubt, if you got really excellent skills as a defense attorney, you can sway anybody with your argument.
Sure.
That's why, whether it's a man or a woman defense attorney, I personally believe there's the great, somewhat good, and mediocre at best. I mean, you get some real good, and you guys work with them all the time, or work against them, I guess. But a defense attorney can all of a sudden get up, and you think it's a stone-cold case in the prosecution side, and all of a sudden you're going, wow, I never thought of that. You know, there's reasonable doubt in your own mind. Right. And you guys, I'm sure, from the prosecution side say, and when they go and they deliberate, you're thinking, you never know, right, Mark?
That's
you
exactly
never
right.
know.
You never know.
And it really does depend, even though you might have so much compelling evidence to prove a guilt of a person, but as long as the defense attorney can characterize it with it somewhat of reasonable doubt, that's the key, right?
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
It's unbelievable how our system works.
It's human beings.
It
you know?
Is.
And human beings, when they get on that stand, anything can happen. And a good defense attorney, you know, you have somebody stumble over a word, and they can jump on that. And your case can go downhill very quickly.
Meg is too young to remember this. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Right. Yeah.
I still saw that OJ. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. They did.
Yeah.
Well, the trial lasted, 10 months, and they were out for, 3 hours?
Right.
Well, let's talk about a couple of things that have put through my brain power thinking about this interview. Let's talk about plea deals. One of the things that I've noticed, and I've never been a big fan of plea deals, and I know why we do it. I know why the court system has to do it. For example, if, Megan, you have a situation where you're trying somebody or prosecuting somebody, and the minimum guidelines for that sentence, if they're found guilty, is 4 to 6 years in jail or in prison, and a defense attorney comes up to you and wants a plea deal or discuss a plea deal with you, and you and your office decide, okay, we're going to give you one, and that plea deal will be for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The argument from people knowing you guys were coming on today, there's a certain faction, and I guess I'm probably part of that, is yes, I understand if you didn't have plea deals, you'd have to have 48 judge benders.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. 24/7 around the Correct. Clock working Right. on cases. The argument from the people that think plea deals may not be the best move is the fact that if you give that person on a plea deal 2 years and you take versus taking them to trial or her to trial and find them guilty, they're going to serve a minimum of 4. How do you answer the critics that say that's really not justice? That's not really the punishment that is severe enough for that person. How do you answer that, Megan?
I think that there's a lot of good things that come out of plea deals. First of all, you have the fact that the conviction is certain, mm-hmm. right? So when you go to trial, there is always a chance that, you know, something could happen, whether a right. witness doesn't show up okay. or they fall apart on the stand, mm-hmm. You know, or you have one rogue juror that just decides, nope, no matter what, I'm gotcha. Not going to find him guilty.
Okay.
So there's certainty in a plea deal because you know that they're going to plead guilty. The other thing is that, you know, testifying, especially if it's not a police officer, if it's right. just a lay person, you know, coming off the street who has already been victimized, mm-hmm. testifying can be really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to bring up sure. anything crazy inflammatory, but the sexual assault case out of Stanford where Brock Turner
right.
was only given
six months
of jail
right.
and his victim wrote quite a powerful statement, you know. Her statement, in large part, talked about how the trial re-victimized her because mm. she had to continually relive those yeah. details over and over and over. Mm. And so when someone pleads guilty, the victim doesn't have to go through that. So I think those are two of the main reasons why we find plea deals so beneficial.
Versus the fact that you would never get all the trials through the court system.
Well, yeah.
If you took everything to trial.
Right.
Okay. So... Yeah. Do you, by the way, before I go to Mark, do you have victims, families come up to you and say when you announce that you're going to give them a plea deal? You certainly don't confer with them, right? Or do you prior to accepting or rejecting a plea deal?
I think it depends on how involved the family is.
Okay.
So sometimes victims are not interested in being involved in the
yeah.
process.
Okay.
And there are other times when they very much want to be part of the process. And so I think it depends on... you know, certainly we want to take their views into consideration,
sure.
but we have to do what we do based on what the law says, based on what that person's criminal history looks like. You know, lots of different factors
gotcha.
Come in. So certainly we take their views, you know, into consideration, but they're, it's not usually the be-all, end-all.
But, Mark, you don't have to give a plea deal, correct?
No, you
can
don't.
Can you reject?
Right, we couldn't.
If you yes. see a trial that you want it to go to trial?
Absolutely, you can.
So there is that option. You could
yep.
say to the defense
sure.
attorney,
No deal.
And
okay.
You can also say, just plead to the indictment. Plead
right.
to everything that you've been charged with and let the judge decide. Mm. Because if they plead to every single charge that we have, then there's we
can't
get
any
say.
Better.
Yeah.
right. You can't do better than that. So.
Yeah, because it's been curious to me, and I see a lot of plea deals in court being
yeah,
announced.
Sure.
You guys get up and do your thing,
yeah.
and they come back and the judge says, please give us your opinions of why you're accepting the plea deal,
mm-hmm.
whatever, or offering one. And it makes sense. I guess, you know, I'm not brutal in thinking about this, but I think of myself in a plea deal. Sometimes people are getting off a little easier than they would have if they went to trial and got found guilty.
Well, sure. It's
That's a fair statement.
It's a bargain.
It's
so
a bargain.
You have to get something in order to give something. But I think the reality, at least here in Seneca County, I can't speak for across the state, you gave the example earlier about how somebody could get 4 years, but
yes.
with a plea deal, they only get 2. You don't often see those extremes.
Okay.
You know, they might shave a few months off a
okay.
sentence.
Okay.
You know, it's not going to be such a dramatic thing. You're not going to find somebody who
okay.
could potentially face life in prison and we're going to plea it to where they get a year local.
Okay.
That's not going to happen.
Gotcha.
It's usually just shaving a little bit off. And
okay.
so, and then the other thing is that oftentimes people get upset because a person will have maybe a 10-count indictment and they plead a 1 count.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reality is there's sort of a doctrine of merger that says you're not going to get 10 separate sentences for
gotcha.
Each of the 10 counts.
Right.
So it's not like it's going to be cumulative. So there's really no benefit or not a benefit, but there's really no rationality to have them plead to, you know, 20,000 counts because we know that the sentence would probably still be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, Megan Peter, my special guest, along with Mark Sankiewicz, fine assistant district attorneys for Seneca County, and I know them well because they see me a lot in the courthouse, and I've always made the comment, as long as it's not in an orange jumpsuit, that's the scary part.
Right.
I don't want to see these dudes getting me up on the stand. I'd probably choke. let's talk about an area that seems to happen too often, in my view. I know that a lot of people are, you know, sentenced to a certain sentence, whether it be 30 days, 60 days, or they may just get probation. Mm-hmm. It seems to me, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, there are a lot of people that get put on probation, which is kind of a good thing for them versus going to jail, and they come back and they have violated the probation. Am I missing something as far as the new number of times that happens in court where somebody has violated a probation? It happens a lot, right?
Yeah.
Is that something that is concerning? I mean, my view, and I love Judge Bender, and I guess if I was wearing the black robe, don't think I'd be as kind to these people that keep violating it. Because my view is, Megan, and I think a simplistic view, if you're the judge and you tell me, Mr. Weber, we're going to give you 6 months probation or 9 months probation, and they list all the things you have to follow, correct?
Yes.
Correct. And then I remember, if you guys will be impressed by this, by judge asking you, the attorney, have you gone over this with Mr. Weber, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Mr. Weber, do you understand, correct? Does that not true?
Oh, that's absolutely true.
So then 2 months later, I go back into court to be a viewer, and I see the same person who violated.
Yeah.
Is that an issue, or do you think that maybe, and with all due respect to Judge Bender, that maybe we should be saying, hey, you screwed up, goodbye, 30 days in jail? I mean, is that something you guys ever think about? I know it isn't your call, because it's a judge's call, right?
Correct.
But is it ever say to yourself, do we give these guys and ladies too much freedom, too much leeway? If you screw up on probation, my view is they got to go to jail. Is that unfair? I mean, the point is, you know what you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know you couldn't drink. You know you couldn't have driven a car.
Yep.
And you go back in front of a judge. Maybe it's debarbistic. I mean, maybe I just can't get it. Why is that not punishable by at least a few days in jail?
I think sometimes it is punishable by a few days in jail.
But I don't see it happen that often. He usually allows them another opportunity to get their act together.
Well, not very often. What sometimes you don't see is that when somebody violates probation, a warrant is issued for their arrest, they'll be picked up and they'll be remanded and put in jail. And those are done on off-court days. So people don't often see that.
All right.
By the time you catch them when they show up in court, they've been in jail for maybe a week, 10 days.
Okay.
So usually it does require
Because that really drives me crazy. Yeah. You know, I don't understand why people think that this is, Roseland Park or Disney World. You have a certain set of rules you got to follow.
Yeah.
Right.
Follow them.
And sometimes it's a wake-up call, you know what I mean, when that warrant is issued and they're picked up and they're brought to jail and processed. And they sometimes, you know, I don't think it's any surprise that we have a serious drug epidemic.
I was just going to get to that.
You know, not only in this county, but all across this country. And so a lot of people are struggling with drug addiction. And once they're put in jail, sometimes they really come to face the facts of, okay, I'm really struggling with this and I need to address my problem. Mm-hmm. If I don't, this is going to be my life for the next year or so.
But it is, I see the sheriff finally got another position for the drug because it's unbelievable.
It's got to be
something you guys see every day.
Every day.
Unbelievable. And it doesn't appear to be any let up in sight.
Well, and the problem is it's not, I mean, you're seeing very good people being brought down by this. You know, it used to be where it was, you know, there was a criminal element in the county and they were very familiar to us. But now we're seeing names where for the first time we're seeing that family's name with a heroin addiction or an addiction to prescription medication. And it's quite tragic.
Yeah.
It is. Well, Megan Peter and Mark Sanquits are my guests. Look at it. It's almost 10 of us. I told you, this show flies, isn't it?
It does.
It's a wonderful world. It's amazing. Yeah. This is Weber This Week. Mark Sanquits and Megan Peter are my special guests, assistant district attorneys for Seneca County. We got to pay the bills. We got to scroll our commercial log, and we have a lot of great sponsors that make the show possible. Will we take a break? We'll be back in a couple. Cayuga Lake National Bank. Visit Bill Ryan and his team for all of your banking needs. Offices in Union Springs and Aurora, a fine sponsor of this show for over 30 years. DA Liquor on Bridge Street in Seneca Falls. Amy Padula and her team will find the right spirit for you every time. When you stop in, tell Amy the dog sent you. Steve Wadhams and Wadhams Enterprises, your local employer of choice. Proud supporter of Weber This Week and local athletics.
fill out an application at wadhams.com. The Gould Hotel welcomes you to come out and enjoy the revitalization of this historic downtown Seneca Falls landmark. Every Wednesday is Ladies' Night with special price drinks and half-priced appetizers. Learn more at thegouldhotel.com. The Omen Theater on William Street in Lyons. See what's playing this week at omentheater.com. Located off New York State Thruway Exit 41, the McGee Diner has earned their reputation as a popular family restaurant, serving country fresh home-cooked meals daily. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and check out their menu at mcgeediner.com. Seneca Metals is an award-winning company that has earned a reputation of going above and beyond to protect the environment and support their community. As an EPA inspector once said, their operation is head and shoulders above the rest. Live, laugh, and eat well. It's the Italian way. It's also the Cicino's way. Cicino's is now offering online web ordering. Fast, easy, reliable, and secure. Order now using your mobile device, computer, or tablet. Located on Main Street in Waterloo, 401 Exchange Street in Geneva. Place your order today at cicinos.com. The Seneca Falls Country Club, awesome 18-hole layout, open to the public and a 12-month payment plan for members. Come try the par four 16th, the toughest hole in Central New York. Check out SenecaFallsCountryClub.com. And the Newark Pilots of the Perfect Game Collegiate Baseball League, a minor league team with a major league ballpark. Season ticket packages available at NewarkPilots.com. And the Wilson Press in Seneca Falls. My good pal Rich Rickey and his team can handle all of your printing and mailing needs. Visit them online at wpress.com. Rich Rickey and Wilson Press, a fine sponsor of Weber This Week.
Yes, time flies when you're having fun. Welcome back to Weber This Week on a Monday, the 13th of June. Mark Sankowitz and Megan Peter, assistant district attorneys for Seneca County, being kind enough to carve out 30 minutes of their busy Monday because they have court session in a couple hours as well. A couple of notes before we get back to Megan and Mark to wrap it up. I want to remind everybody that Seneca Metals is involved in getting you to register for their 5K Race for Hunger. This year's run is a sunset run with incredible music from Sarah and Joe Moll and complimentary beer. Sign me up for that from Wagner Brewing Company. For all runners after the race, must be 21 or over to receive complimentary beer. And that's quite a thing to say in front of two assistant DAs. Proceeds from the 5K Race for Hunger benefit the House of Concern, a very active local food pantry that services hundreds of families in need. To sign up for that, Jimmy's going to have a link on fingerlakes1.com how you can sign up and register for that. That is August 27th at 6:30 in the evening, okay? It's going to be at the Seneca Meadows Wetland Preserve, Blackbrook Road in Seneca Falls. And speaking of good things to do, if you're interested in watching some baseball, a great baseball, I'm a big fan of going over the Newark Pilots over at Coburn Park. The Omens own that facility. Their games this week, tonight they got Elmira at home. Tomorrow night they'll be hosting Victor. I'll be bringing my buddy Frank. I think these guys know Frank Eldridge, the sheriff. He's a legend. We're good buddies. I'm taking him to the ballpark tomorrow night to watch Victor play Newark. And then on Saturday, they got Adirondack coming to town. And then Sunday, they have Rome coming to Newark. Excellent baseball, phenomenal field, great concessions. If you like baseball food, and there's nothing quite like it, a little hot dog or a hamburger or whatever, it's great food, peanuts, popcorn. I'm getting hungry thinking about it. And I should point out the Geneva Red Wings. I screwed up last week on the show calling them the Red Legs. It's the Red Wings. They got a couple of home games this week. Check out up in Geneva. We were there last week. Elmira comes to town on Wednesday to take on Geneva, and Elmira comes back on Friday. Check out some great baseball action. It's a great time to go to a ball game, enjoy a cold beer, and have some fun watching baseball. Nothing quite like it. Megan, as we wrap up our show, hard to believe we're down to 6 minutes and counting. As you guys do your ADA work and you work so tirelessly, I'm sure you'll go back to your office and find a few more files on your desk. Did you ever think, I know you were excited about getting into prosecution, Did you ever wonder when you sat down in your present job and you see somebody walk in who's a defense attorney wearing a $3,000 suit with a beautiful briefcase from New York City thinking, not to question what you guys make, but I can't think it's in the neighborhood of what a defense attorney can make. Has there been any thought process in your mind, even though you're a young woman, that says, you didn't go into it for the money, but do you ever think to yourself, wow, I could be killing it if I had my skill set and was a defense attorney versus being a prosecutor?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always think about, you know, what it would be like to be on the opposite side. But I think for the time being, I really just love what I do. I love working, especially with children.
Right.
And it's I go home every night feeling really good about my job and feeling really good about what I've done that day. Mm. So I think right now I'm pretty content just being a government lawyer and wearing my $100 suit instead of my $3,000 suit.
Mark, your comment on that. Do you ever think about, wow, what it'd be like to be a defense attorney?
You know, it's an interesting thing. There are ethical rules that guide our respective jobs, and defense attorneys are under an ethical obligation to zealously represent their clients.
Right.
Our ethical obligation is to do justice. I used to joke with my son when I'd come home from work that I'm the closest thing to a real-life superhero that you're going to see. So I kind of like what I do.
And by the way, as we got a few minutes left, I must tell you, I am amazed at 21st century when I come to your courthouse and I see you guys do your thing. I'm often amazed the amount of paperwork that you guys do.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes Megan 14 people to carry up her tray. Right.
Right.
And I see Judge Benner is going to need somebody to help him, a sheriff, to bring out that bin that he brings out every Monday.
Yeah.
Is there no way to get the stuff on computers? I mean, is it you got to have that much paperwork in every file? It's so much paper. Is that just part of the system?
The sad reality is that a lot of that is transmitted electronically,
really?
But you have to print it out because you've got to keep it. We get, on a regular basis, we'll get calls from people who will say, I was convicted of a crime 15 years ago, and I need to know what happened with that, or was the fine paid? And unfortunately, because electronic media changes, you know, we used to have floppy drives, and then we went to the little ones, and now it's USBs. The only reliable thing that will last the test of time at this point is paper, unfortunately.
That's unbelievable. I'm always amazed at the files. It's mind-boggling. Yeah. But then again, hey, what are you going to do? And by the way, speaking of people on the other side that battle you guys every week or every day in your jobs, I must say, being a public defender, I really admire those folks. I don't know. It seems like they get more cases than you can handle physically or mentally. Do we have enough public defenders in this county? It doesn't seem like we do, does it? I mean, their workload's got to be, even though yours are pretty high, but if I'm sitting back and if I'm standing back at a court and somebody wants an attorney, judge says, oh yeah, he'll take this one and then take this one, where does that go? Is that something that's a concern?
Well,
is there enough?
You know, you're probably not asking the right folks.
Right.
Because the reality is that they're staffed at the same level that we are. So we have three full-time ADAs and then one part-time at this point.
Okay.
And they have
a lot of work.
Two full-timers and then two part-timers, I believe. So they're close to us, not quite the amount. But
well, let's give some love to some of your associates without going off the air. Talk a little bit about who's in the office with you. I know Barry, obviously, is the district attorney, but let's throw some other names out there that do work for you.
Pat Morell is our part-time ADA,
and
a lot of folks know him
because
he's very heavily involved in the community. And then we have two wonderful ladies who keep everything going.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to put a job description on because they literally keep us going. That's Barb Belmore, and then Lisa Calabrese, who are the two assistants that all that paper that we generate, they have to deal with that. So
we couldn't do it without
that's
them.
That's right.
They're the best.
Well, and then Frank Schmitter is our investigator.
Oh,
Who also, it's like when he takes a day off, I get nervous.
Yep.
It's like, how could he take a day off? You know,
he's the investigator?
Yes.
Yep. And he, like, literally, if you need something, Frank is on it. I don't know how I ever did a jury trial without Frank there.
Right.
Like, he's just amazing. Like, Frank, I need this piece of evidence and it's still at 5 points. Can you call and have somebody get it? And magically, it appears. Appears the second before you need it. You just have it marked, and he's phenomenal.
You know what this reminds me of, don't you?
What?
I'm sure you were a fan of Good Wife. Didn't watch
Everybody
Good Wife?
Asked me about I mean, I know the show.
Fabulous show. You would have loved it. and now it's off the air after. Yeah. But they had a great investigator that was that fell in love with the lead character too. Oh. So yeah. I can't believe you didn't watch that show. That show is the best show. I mean, it was really a phenomenal show. I'm sorry it's going off the air. The Good Wife. People have asked you about that. Oh yeah, it's a good show. I'm going to miss that one. I used to watch Law and Order all the time too, and I got tired of it. The reason I got tired of Law and Order is they never lost.
Right, right. That's true.
That gets a little monotonous. Yep. You know what? The defense has to win once in a while.
Absolutely.
You
got to
throw them a bone.
Sure.
You know.
I mean, I can't watch it because I sit and listen to these judges ruling. I throw my hands up. Yeah. There's no way he'd win. That can't happen.
Exactly.
Well, listen, we have struck the magical hour of 10 a.m. I know we could talk for hours on the law, and I certainly would enjoy a continuation sometime with the both of you. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to join us. Thanks, Megan.
Thank you so much, Doug.
All right. Thank you. And Mark, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And again, if you guys want to chip in and put the dog for a new recliner at the courthouse, I'll be back.
We'll work.
All right, thank you. Megan Peter, along with Mark Sankiewicz, joining us this morning, and they have a very busy schedule. They're going to be leaving here and getting ready for court, which starts promptly at 2 p.m. this afternoon. Let me remind everybody, upcoming guests for the month of June. Next week, we bring in, speaking of police, the town of Seneca Falls Chief of Police, Stu Peenstra, will be here, and his right-hand man, Lieutenant Tim Snyder, will be on the couch talking what they're doing relative to the town of Seneca Falls. Then on the 27th of June, we wrap up our pre-4th of July break. We'll have a gentleman who's taken more rights than he can beg for a left. Kyle Black, the general manager of Seneca Metals, which has been a hot topic around here forever, and it'll probably continue forever. Kyle Black joins us, and then we take the 4th off, and then a funny show that I'm looking forward to. I don't bet the horses per se, but my wife and myself have a sort of a yearly thing. We like to bet on the Triple Crown, the three big races, the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. By the way, that horse that I bet on, the Belmont, is still running. But we always go up to OTB, and the faces of OTB are interesting. There's a lady up there named Angie DeMarco, who's been working at the OTB offices for like 23 years. And there's another lady that I run into when I go up a few times a year. Her name is Shannon Avon Calling Avon. That's her last name, Avon. So I have to pick up Avon Calling. They're going to be here on July 11th talking about what it's like to work at OTB. So those are the faces of OTB in Seneca County, just outside of Seneca Falls, on your way to Waterloo. So for Mark Sankiewicz and Megan Peter, thank you for joining us again. We'll catch you next week, everybody, for another edition of Weber This Week. Enjoy your week. Take care. One.com